034-9988 to find your nearest stockers.
Drive Time on 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.
O 829 913 913 is the WhatsApp line. There's still a couple of minutes to give us the fruit of your thoughts. Researchers from the Southern Center for Inequality Studies at Wits University, the acronyms get more interesting by the year, have co-authored a paper which provides the details that proposes a wealth tax to assist with fiscal sustainability. In other words, so we can have enough money in the country, as well as reducing extreme wealth inequality. Online for comment is co-author in research and economics at Louvain Institute of Data Analysis in Belgium, Leo Tzatzaka. I don't know whether I got the name correct, but Leo, welcome.
Thank you very much for inviting.
Right, let's have a look. When one hears the word wealth tax, alarm bells ring in certain sectors of the population, and industry will say, yeah, you know, but now you're going to chase investment away, blah, 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 blah. So how have you managed to present this particular question in this particular paper?
Okay, that's indeed a recurring question. So just let me take a step back to present generally the frame of this paper. So we've collected new data, all available sources to measure wealth distribution. Then we wrote this policy paper as transparency, as informed possible to participate to this public debate about whether or not to have a wealth tax, and then try to estimate how much would be collected from a wealth tax. And there's a simulator online which you can play with in order to implement your own tax schedule. Now, in the policy paper where we present the design of this wealth tax, we indeed tackle this issue about the disincentive that a wealth tax could have maybe on investment. So this is a worry that one can have, and it's true that maybe some disinvestment will happen as a response to the wealth tax. It is in general hard to estimate, but even with this happening, we consider that given the amount of government tax revenue, to the extent that this revenue could be helped to foster the recovery of the crisis and to fund public goods, we estimate that it's still worth considering, right? So there might be some negative impact, but not to the extent that all the investments in South Africa would be removed. And this negative impact has to be weighted against the positive ones, which is typically all the pooling of resource that a new tax can allow.
It seems to be quite a balancing act, because I'm sure you are familiar with the argument in South Africa, at least. I know nothing about tax in the rest of the world and little about it here. But, you know, what we are told is that some people will say that certain sectors of the population are already overtaxed. How does one think one's way around a blanket statement like that?
Well, I mean, the question is, what is too much, right? So it depends also collectively what is the general goal that you want to set up. And currently, the need for additional funds to fund the recovery from the current crisis, also to curb extreme inequality, which are persistent, both in terms of income and in terms of wealth since the end of apartheid. These are like urgent issues that one should consider when trying to decide whether some part of the population are too much taxed or not, right? So I would say, well, is it too much taxing given that inequality in wealth, for instance, have not decreased since the end of apartheid, right? So. Or is it too much? Would it be too much taxing, given all the needs in terms of government revenues that South Africa is facing? I think this question of whether some tax policy would impose too much of a burden on some part of the population needs to be addressed collectively from a national point of view.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, out of this, there could be a lot of benefits. Do you think that what's important is that people are empowered to see the benefits of a so-called wealth tax, whatever it might be called, and that it has to be used in a trustworthy system? One of the biggest bugbears among South African citizens right now is corruption. But if people could be persuaded that the dividends or the what's deducted from this wealth tax could be physically seen to be making a difference, do you think that goes a long way to getting buy-in?
So you're absolutely right. And, well, this concern about whether additional government revenue would be properly spent is a concern that one should have about any type of tax, right? So here in this regard, even though we do not dive into this detail into our paper, we reckon that this should be a concern. And, well, if any additional tax should be imposed, it should go along with a sort of a social contract with the people, actually those paying the tax, but also those maybe directly benefiting from the revenues. So we would, in general, call for more transparency and earmarking about on the revenues collected, so that trust could be rebuilt in the government.
Does the paper earmark anything towards which the wealth taxes should go? President Cyril Ramaphosa, in his State of the Nation addresses, has been very strong on infrastructural development, and a lot of economists and other people agree that if the country develops infrastructure, directly coming out of that are things such as jobs and economic development.
We don't really give details about where we think that this additional tax revenue should be invested. We try to put a lot of effort on having the numbers correct, and we take measurement issues very seriously, try to have this estimate of the government revenues. Now, the question as to where this additional revenue should be invested, we don't go too much into the detail. But let me go through just a few numbers of the results that we get with this estimation of the wealth tax revenue. So, I mean, with this moderate scenario that we assume with even 30% evasion rate on the taxable base, we calculate that this instrument would collect 134 billion, so that is about 2.8% of GDP. In terms of wealth spendings, precisely, that represents 40% of all spending yearly on education, 55% on social protection, including all types of grants, 67% of health expenditure, or again, as a matter of comparison, 80% of the debt service. So,
yeah, it's interesting. I mean, one thing that really sort of rang a bell when you spoke about a 30% evasion rate, and the press release also talks about that. Do you think that that could be a critical area for the tax collecting services if they could narrow that gap? As you say, 134 billion, 2.8% of GDP. That's a huge wallop, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is. It is, and as I was saying, we obtained this number even taking into account a 30% evasion rate of the taxable base. So, yeah, evasion is a bit like disinvestment and this negative impact that one could have on growth. It's true that we assume that part of this will happen, right? So part of the people made as a response to the tax and to report their taxable wealth or migrate even maybe. So we address this by factoring this element into our proposal. And we also go into details more in our policy paper by trying to take a stand as to what should be the correct factor, how much should the taxable base be decreased due to evasion or migration, and we come up with this 30% number. It's based on the empirical literature, which is scarce, but it's like we've looked at all the recent estimates that one can obtain about this. And this is maybe one to add something about it. It's important to keep in mind that this evasion rate is itself a function of the willingness from the tax administration to actually try to get as much information as possible about the taxable base and to engage into automatic exchange of information with other countries.
Yeah, and just to sort of recap, figures that jump off the page, we've already alluded to it, but it's good, to, I think, to remind everybody listening to us that your paper says that under conservative assumptions, a progressive wealth tax on the richest 1% could raise between 1.5% and 3.5% of the GDP. And 3.5% of South Africa's GDP takes us close to 200 billion, which is a very healthy amount.
Yes, indeed. So the figures you read from the policy paper, those very ones are about the GDP of 2018. And so if my numbers are correct here, it's like around 160 billion that one could collect with this tax proposal that we put forward in this policy paper. The numbers here vary because we adjust for different scenarios regarding the evasion rate. So assuming 50% of evasion rate, one would collect 70 billion, that is 1.5% of 2018 GDP. Assuming only 10% of evasion rate, one would go to 3.5% of GDP in 2018. If one wants to further play with these numbers, I would recommend to go on the tax simulator, where you can implement a wealth tax on the top 1% by choosing each rate for each bracket that you want to select, and by seeing the impact on the total revenues that you collect, also on the very individual for which you can estimate the wealth, and then you can see the total that you would get. You can actually relate it then to what you just did, expenditures in education, social protection, and so on.
Leo Chaka, researcher in economics, Louvain University, talking to us about wealth tax, some very interesting numbers being crunched. And let's hope something can come out of this to help the poorer in our communities. Leo, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Drive Time 91.3, always on the cutting edge.
And it's time to go for today's show. Some WhatsApps coming in. Salam Shafiq. Mesut Ozil of Arsenal was ostracized because of his support of Palestine. Okay, that's an interesting one. I've always been scratching as to why Mesut Ozil, one of the finest players, can't get a game. Another WhatsApp coming in here saying, I've never seen alcohol companies using a drunk person for advertising. Are they ashamed of their customers? Today's show produced by Ibrahim Kangwa Chibwe. Foldy Funalili pushing slides behind the desk. By the way, our technicians don't push buttons. They use slides. It's very sophisticated. Fasih Peterson on traffic. Feroz Sheikh on sports. Tahira Sali cranking the news. From myself, Shafiq Morton. Assalamu alaikum.
Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.
MJ Ali Optometrist, importers of frames and lenses and manufacturers of lenses. Be sure to take advantage of any of our clear value deals. Single vision spectacles, 850 Rand. Bifocals, 1,150 Rand. Or multifocals.